have this opportunity to come together and study God's Word. It's always a blessed encouragement that we have, and we come together edifying one another, uplifting one another. We take this opportunity always to come together. We always extend the Lord's invitation. As we continue each day in our lives, from time to time, we make mistakes. Some are small mistakes, some are big mistakes. But we all make. We could turn to Romans, we could go over there and see that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So therefore, everyone. Again, everyone has made a mistake. Everybody has fallen short. Sometimes it's not necessarily always a sin and mistakes. We may just mistake someone's name, make mistakes in forgetting to turn the stove on when cooking. You know, you put the pan on there, and then you don't turn it on, nothing cooks. 30 minutes goes by, and you don't have enough food to eat. Sometimes we make mistakes that are simple as that, or other little mistakes. Sometimes we make mistakes that are sin, that cause us to need forgiveness, need God's forgiveness. And that has a consequence that can lead us to eternal punishment that God has set up. What I want to talk about this evening is the fourth and what I would say would be the biggest mistake. Sit there and ask yourself what you might think that be. And asking what the biggest mistake would be. Because we can go through, and of course, knowing any sin, you sit there and start listing them off. The mistake of lying, mistake of forsaking the assembly, the mistake of murder, theft, abuse, swearing, any of the things that you might go down that list and try to figure out what you would think or you yourself would consider the biggest mistake that you've made. You might be thinking of job. You might be thinking of certain things in life, decisions to make, who you would or would not marry. What I believe, and I only have one point to go forth and talk about this evening on what I believe would be the big mistake, and that would be simply to not take advantage of today. Not being ready to meet God today. Because any mistake that you have made in the past can be forgiven. Any mistake, however big, however small, that you have made in your lifetime can be forgiven. God is ready to forgive you. God sent His Son down so that your sins could be forgiven. John 3, verse 16, there it tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so therefore, He's made the opportunity there for all. He loves all and desires all to be saved. And then He blesses us with today. So I ask that you open up your Bibles and see that we need to take advantage of the day that God has blessed us with. Whether it's at that point that you've yet to be baptized and you have not had your sins washed away, you've not been added to the kingdom, and that you have not become a soldier of Christ, received that spirit of adoption, or if you have obeyed the gospel and you've fallen short, you've sinned since that time. Maybe you had made a mistake throughout this past week that you have slipped and fallen back into sin that was yesterday, as the day before. Now the question is today, have you asked for forgiveness? Have you repented of those sins? Is there sin in your life today? And if there is, the biggest mistake you can make is to leave here today without seeking God's forgiveness. Turn along with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 10 and read down through verse 13 and then come back to verse 9. Starting in verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking forward and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens, new earth, in which righteousness dwells. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. We don't know when the Lord will come. But we know he's blessed us with right now. We don't know if we'll get throughout the remaining of service. We do not know if we'll make it home. We don't know if the sun's going to rise tomorrow. We don't have an idea. We don't know. God's blessed us with today. That's what we read there in verse 9. Reading verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." There are those who sit there and mock our God, mock our Lord, saying, "Well, the Lord said he was coming back. Where is he? He said he went and prepared a home in heaven, a mansion, a room there in heaven with God, the Father, and the Son. Where's it at?" Some people are sitting there, well, obviously it's not going to take place. But the Word of God tells us that's not so. God is simply being patient, long-suffering. Because he desires everybody to come to repentance. He desires everybody to seek his forgiveness. And so as we read these other verses, 10 through 13, it brought out, what manner of person ought you to be looking forward to that day? But if there's sin in your life, how can you be excited about that day? If there is sin that you need to seek forgiveness for, that has not been washed by the blood of Christ, has not been forgiven by you going to God in prayer and seeking and begging and pleading for his mercy, how can we look forward to that day to come? In verse 14, it says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." Consider God's long-suffering salvation. Because it allows you today the opportunity to ask the questions that need to be asked. Have I sought forgiveness for all my sins? Have I sinned? Do I need to repent of anything? Or asking the questions of, what must I do in order to be saved? What hinders me from coming forward and being baptized? God's patience allows us that. His long-suffering allowing us here today. Because he didn't have to grant us today. There'll be people in the obituary tomorrow. Those who did not make it. We have to take the opportunity every day. Again, this is the biggest mistake today. Maybe God's long suffering will last another day. Tomorrow is another day to make sure that our lives are right with him. But today is what we have to make sure we're prepared now to meet our God. In Matthew chapter 24, and reading there in verse 36, Matthew 24 and verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Again, we don't know when. We don't know when. And the thief gives no warning. You know, it was just this past week, a neighborhood over here in Greystone and Winstone,
one of the men there,
he sets up and smokes meat. Doesn't have a food truck, but he's got his own smoker. He sets up a little spot. He sells his smoke, you know, some pulled pork and this and that and ribs. But in the middle of the night, while it's still dark outside, somebody hooked their truck up and stole a smoker. Now, if he knew when this was going to take place, he could have prepared for it, right? He could have been out there waiting for somebody. No, not today. You're not taking. But throughout the neighborhood, there are many who prepared themselves for any situation, any time of the day, night. There are so many cameras that they were able to post throughout the neighborhood. If they had pictures of the truck, they were able to give it to the police, recordings and videos. They ended up finding a smoke. But they were prepared for it. No one else was prepared. No one else had cameras. Then there would be no proof. No one to look for, nothing to go off of. Because they give you no warning. And God here tells us that there is no warning on the end of time. On the day in which he has set aside. The day that not even the angels know when it will take place. And so we must always be watching, being ready for that time that God has set for us. So it would be the biggest mistake to get in our vehicles knowing that anything could happen on the way home if we're not ready to meet our God. If we're not prepared for that day he has set aside. In James chapter 4, and reading there in verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Indeed, you ought to say, the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil."
How often we get caught up in saying, "I will fix my problems tomorrow." Maybe someone has done you wrong. You said, "Maybe I'll wait a little while before I approach." Maybe you've done wrong to somebody else and you say, "I'll ask for forgiveness tomorrow." You've sinned, you've fallen short of the glory of God. I'll pray to God tomorrow. I'll make it right tomorrow. Life is short and we don't know if tomorrow's going to come. So we must take a step back and thank God for the day, the hour, the minute that we have right now. And make sure that our life is right with God. Be prepared to meet him. Because if we were to face our God today unprepared, then it's over. There's not another chance. There's not a second opportunity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading there in verse 2, he says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the day that you need to make your life right with God. We don't want to wait till next week, till tomorrow. If you know that you have sin in your life, make it right now. Ask God for forgiveness now. If it is a private sin that is a matter between you and God, say a prayer now. If it's something that is public and you have asked God for forgiveness and you want it to be known and you want prayers of the congregation to help you to overcome and let it be known that you've repented of it, come forward. Let us know now. If you understand what you need to do in order to be saved, that you have to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ to wash your sins away, then do it now.
If you somewhat understand that, but yet you still have some questions that you want to ask, ask now. Whoever it is that you trust to help you understand these things, whether it's me, one of the other men, some other brother that you want to call upon, don't delay. Biggest mistake we can do is leave unprepared to meet our God. And that renews every day. As again, because all the mistakes we made yesterday, it's in our past. You can get those behind you by simply going to God and allowing Him to forgive you. So I don't want to leave without extending that invitation. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or we can assist you in being baptized, please let it be known. We stand in sight.